listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You just found the very best in original talk radio broadcasting on the internet. It's LA Talk Radio. We say what we want. What we want. You're listening to On the Couch, On the Couch with Dr. Michelle on LA Talk Radio.
Officially on the couch with me, Dr. Michelle. I'm your friendly psychologist, as I always am here, usually Friday, Pacific Standard Time, in the beautiful studios in downtown Encino on LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to talk radio station on the internet. And usually what we do is we talk about issues or, you know, maybe problems going on in your life, relationship stuff, self-esteem, depression, tension in your life, things like that. And what I do is try to give you advice and kind of help you out with that stuff. And let me tell you this, you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship, really. This is just kind of helping you out a little bit, giving you advice, hopefully a little entertaining. And, you know, you'll learn some stuff. And maybe somebody else will ask your question, and then you can learn from that. But feel free to call me if you'd like. The number here live on the air is 323-203-0815. That's a Los Angeles area code, 323-203-0815. And you can reach me, by the way, if you'd like to email me, as many listeners have, about questions or comments about past shows. You can do so. My radio station email address is docmichelle@aol.com, docmichelle@aol.com. And, of course, you can link on to that right here on the webpage on the couch with Dr. Michelle. The two links are there. The other link I'm referring to is my website, which is drmichelletherapy.com. And that's, of course, abbreviated Dr. Michelle with two L's, therapy. You know how to spell that, .com. No, it's not. No, it's... I just made that up in there. It's not Dr. Michelle, you know how to spell that. That would be a really long website, wouldn't it? Be kind of cool, actually. Anyway, it's Dr. Michelle DrMichelleTherapy.com. DR, of course. All right, we're going to have a free-for-all Friday today. And again, I'm taking live listeners' calls. And I'm going to be reading some of the questions that you have written me over the past 2 weeks. I'm getting back to you. You've given me approval to go ahead and share this on the air. Some of the names are not real due to privacy, but who's going to know if you're not calling in? They won't know your voice. But anyway, maybe the particular situation going on in your life right now. But we're going to get started. And again, you can write me questions if you have issues or things going on at docmichelle@aol.com. And what we'll do is we'll try to help you out with certain things. We've got a lot of interesting questions today. A lot of relationship questions. What is assertiveness versus aggressiveness? We've got issues about what are red flags to look for in a relationship with a guy. What are some bad things to look for? Right. Also, we're going to look at... Maybe why do people play games in relationships? I got a good question about that. And why do some people become really more addicted than others to alcohol and other chemicals? Why does that happen? Okay, let's start out now. I have a really good question here. It's an email from Angela. She says, Dear Doc, I need some advice. I'm 25 years old and I still feel that I attract many people in my life who try to control me. I would describe myself as a nice person who's easygoing. I usually go along with plans that my friends make because it usually doesn't matter to me. Some of my friends say I'm a good listener and will tell me all their problems. But sometimes I don't feel like they're interested in my feelings or problems, so I keep quiet a lot of the times. All right. I grew up in a family that had a lot of control and fighting. I think I hated it so much that I became easygoing and more withdrawn. Mm-hmm. In the last month, I've been building up these feelings of anger towards a couple of my friends for making me feel like they can control me and then I don't matter that much to them. I've also attracted boyfriends who have these traits. What is it with me? Do I have a target painted on my forehead? Please help, Angela. Okay. Angela, it sounds to me like you need some assertiveness training. You know, I liked your insight about the family situation that you said, that there was a lot of control and fighting going on. So you said you hated it so much that you became easygoing and more withdrawn. Now, everyone reacts differently to a conflicted environment. When you have a lot of rageaholics in the home and you grow up with a lot of drama, there's some siblings who will be withdrawn, such as yourself, which it sounds like. There are some who act more aggressive and model the parents' behavior. There are some who just tune out and become addicted to something because they can't cope with it. And then there are some that just prove that they're going to be so successful, they're going to rise to the top, and they are superstars and they get out of the muck. But a lot of times they haven't really dealt with this stuff. So for me, because what you're saying is that you attract a lot of people in your life who are controlling and that you see yourself as a nice person, you know, this sounds kind of like an assertiveness issue. And what that is, and you may have been told this, I mean, you're old enough to hear this stuff, you're 25. It's the ability to express your feelings and assert your rights while respecting the feelings and rights of others. Now, it sounds to me like you respect other people and you can just jump into, you know, your role of respecting and listening and all that. But assertive communication is appropriately direct. It's open and honest, and it clarifies your needs to the other person. Okay? Now, some people can naturally do it. They're just more comfortable doing it. But sometimes, in your case, it sounds like to me, it's a skill. You need to kind of learn it. And you can go to assertiveness workshops, you know, or you can find a therapist who specializes in assertiveness training. It's just practice. It's just understanding who you are and why you deserve to speak up for yourself. See? Because passive people don't know how to adequately communicate their feelings and needs. And like you said, you kind of have pushed yourself back a little bit. And it sounds to me like you fear conflict so much that you let your needs go unmet. You keep your feelings secret in order to keep the peace. And I totally get that. But what happens is you let others win. You kind of lose out sometimes. Everybody involved loses, though. When you're not assertive and you're withholding yourself and they're kind of stomping all over you, you know, it's everybody loses because you lose sometimes respect and then you feel bad about yourself. Okay? You may feel like a victim, but you continue to avoid confrontation. And here's the deal. You're going to start becoming increasingly angry. You mentioned a little bit of anger. And this is the deal. When you finally say something, maybe you're going to, I don't know if you blow up or if you just kind of go away or if you let people continue to, you know, stomp on all over you and withhold. This is what it sounds like to me. This is what you're doing. You may be withholding and withhold, but it's going to build up and it's going to explode. Or you're going to really continue to mess yourself up by shoving these angry feelings down. Okay. So it leads to really hard feelings towards friends. You can't trust people a lot of times. You have weaker relationships. You get more passive, but you have all this anger building up inside you. And then you sublimate it to other things, which may not be really healthy either. So, Angela, if I can help you out, I would say go to a group that offers assertiveness training or get a therapist who can teach you how to be more assertive. So let me give you a couple of examples. You talked about your friends who talk a lot. All right, let me just say this. Maybe your friend who really talks a lot calls you to vent about her bad day. Now, you have a lot of work to do. You don't have time to talk, and you just kind of withdraw. a passive response might be to let her talk for as long as she needs, and you know, and you figure, oh, well, I can just shove it down and my deadline can suffer, or, you know, I'll get to the computer later, or I'll call some people back later. She really needs your help and you're there for her, which is a wonderful, lovely trait to have, you know. But an assertive response would be to listen for, you know, a minute or two. All right, give her 5 minutes. All right? Then compassionately say, gosh, it's really something like, it sounds like you're having a really tough day. I really would love to talk about it, but I don't have the time right now. Can we talk tomorrow? Can we talk later tonight? You're drawing boundaries, and that's what you have to do. You know, people who have mastered the skill of assertiveness are able to really reduce the level of stress in their lives, you know, and of course, anger and shoving down feelings, interpersonal conflict. Now, when you express yourself assertively, as opposed to aggressively, you know, aggressive people are a pain in the ass, right? We all have aggressive people in our lives. In other words, the person who would be aggressive would say to your friend who called and started talking about her friends, they'd be sarcastic, or, get over it. I have my own problems. I've really got to go. Later. Sounds to me like that's what your friends do to you. But anyway, it's assertiveness. You'll be a happier person. You'll feel better about yourself. You'll have a lot more self-esteem. Okay? It affects all areas of your life. You'll have fewer conflicts. You'll get your needs met. You'll have a healthier body, which means less stress. So learn about being more assertive. Okay? So just go to a group. Go to a therapist. I would really suggest you reach out for that because it will help you. All right? Okay, let's move on. This is Dr. Michelle with you, and you are on the couch with me, as you always are, Friday mornings at this time. Pacific Standard, of course, at 11 a.m. We're doing a free-for-all Friday today. And this is where I answer your questions. You have written me, and of course, I invite listeners to call if you'd like to discuss an issue or a problem or get some advice on something. And that number is 323-203-0815. This is the Los Angeles area code in the beautiful city of Encino, where we have all of the entertainment and information you need in the world. 323-203-0815. Okay, so we're going to move on here. And by the way, if you want to email me, as all of the people did today, you can find me at docmichelle@AOL.com. That's my radio station email address, docmichelle@AOL.com. Check it out. It's on the link right here to the face page of LA Talk Radio. All right, here we go. Dear Doc, I'm a 26-year-old female bartender. Cool. I've been seeing this guy for a month, and I've dated a lot of men, and I think that he is the one. We get along great. We haven't had sex yet because I'm really tired of having sex and getting dumped by guys I really like and being hurt. All right, you go, girl. The thing is that he gets me. Oh, I get it. He gets me. We have the same sense of humor. He has been saying things like, I may be the one for him. And he talks about our future. But I want to know what kinds of things I should think about before it gets really serious so we can have a very successful relationship. He seems really wonderful. But I want to know things I can ask to find out and talk about that would be beneficial before we really get serious. Okay, so he may be the one for you. And I don't know. See, there's no name here, but that's cool. All right. These are like no-brainers. I'm just going to give you things that you need to think about when you're talking about long-term marriage and or, you know, a committed relationship. When you're going to get serious and you're starting to think about moving in, or could this guy be the one, as you say? You need to look at, you know, these are really kind of no-brainers. But, I mean, you know, you need to find out what his beliefs are, you know, his religious belief. You know, sometimes if you don't share the same faith, it can cause friction. You know, of course, every religion has different belief systems and shares different views on relationships and, you know, a connection with God or or Jesus or Buddha or, you know, Allah or whatever the deal is. So, you know, you're having possible, you know, issues with religious beliefs. That's a big deal breaker, especially when you have kids. Unless you both can come to a conformity. Right? If you both can, you know, agree to raise the kids in a certain way. And that brings me to something else. How many kids do you want? Do you want kids? Does he want children in the future? Well, that's a real big one. Because I get couples who've been married and they're young adults, and they really didn't bother to ask each other, well, how many kids do you want? I mean, believe it or not, a lot of people do this. How many kids do you want? They don't ask each other. They just kind of get married and think that life's going to be fun and great, and what? Let's just see what happens. So, you know, if there's a disagreement over having a kid, or having how many kids do you want? She wants two, you want zero. She wants four, and you want one. You know, that's huge. That's, you don't even want to go there with somebody. So you really have to find out if he wants children, if you want, how many, and all that. You know, it can really, that's it. That's a deal breaker. All right. Something else to look at for me, you know, in a relationship. Is he addicted to any substances? I mean, really addicted to, especially alcohol. Alcoholics, you know, there's a lot of trouble when you're dealing with an alcoholic. Does he drink too much? Is he on narcotics? Does he do coke? You know. It's important to know if you're getting into a relationship with a person who abuses any substances, because that'll get you in trouble. It could lead to domestic violence. I don't know what kind of a temper he has. I don't know what, you know, but people change sometimes. So just kind of take a look at that too. I think it's really important to get a feeling for how long he is willing to wait before having sex. I know you say here that you haven't had sex yet. And you've been going out off and on for about a month, and you say he's wonderful and all that. Cool. That's cool. This is really an important question, because it'll kind of determine his intentions. And I'm not saying manipulate him. Don't hold off and manipulate him. I mean, that's game playing, and that's passive aggressive. But, you know, some relationships are built solely on sex, and this obviously is not. I mean, if he wanted to get laid, he would have had sex with you a long time ago, probably, or pushed you into it, or, you know. So it sounds to me like it's an important question to just kind of get a feeling. I don't know what he said to you. It sounds like he's pretty a patient, cool guy. Like, it, you know, he's being really okay with that. Another really cool question when you guys get closer is to ask him, you know, kind of what was the cause of past relationships ending for him in his life. You see what I'm saying? There's patterns. We all have patterns. And sometimes when there is consistency in, well, she turned out to be a bitch, or she, whatever. If there's consistency with a lot of reasons why he broke up with someone, you got to take a look at that. Because this can show you what to expect in the relationship with someone. And you can also figure out what he does not accept in a relationship, what he does not accept. And, you know, it could be either good or bad. It'd give you some, you know, idea of what exactly he's all about and what he won't put up with. Or if he's a jerk and he's controlling. Okay. Also, it's always a good thing to check out his interests. So, you know, I have a lot of couples who come to me and they say, oh, you know, I am a sports widow. My husband's always going to some kind of a game. He's going to the baseball game. Getting ready for the basketball season. He's looking at TV all the time. He tapes all the TVs, all the shows. And, you know, so he's with his friends. He has sports night a couple of nights a week. When's he going to have night for me and not watching the TV and looking at a sport? So, ESPN junkies, that kind of thing. Find out what his interests and hobbies are, because that could interfere with the relationship. Some guys are really addicted to that. And internet addictions, of course, porn, things like that. Got to check that out. Hobbies can be shared. You know, you guys can do it. I don't know. Join a hiking club, or I don't know if he's into, who knows, whatever he's into. But maybe you guys can share a hobby together. You got to just kind of check out and see what that's about. If you can get to know his family, that'd be really cool. I don't know if you've met his family or not. Figure out what the vibe is there. Because when you get serious with somebody, you want to be around his or her family. You really do. You want to have a good vibe from them. You want to know what kind of environment he grew up in. So if you don't get along with his family, that could cause a lot of trouble. Or if they're very protective of him, or, you know, question you, or you need to check out what his family's like. You'll get a feel for where he came from and the dynamics from which he came. You know, was it a crazy, chaotic, dramatic environment in his home? Was it peaceful most of the time, but he had, you know, doesn't matter. It's important to have strong parental figures, but, you know, it just kind of get a feel for what kind of environment he grew up in. Also ask, what is his job? Find out, what does he have the kind of job? And I'm not talking about he has to be a medical doctor or an attorney or, you know, a successful person who, you know, is necessarily raking in the bucks. But I mean, does he have long-term goals? Does he have a plan? Is he making money now? Does he enjoy his work? If he doesn't enjoy his work, does he have plans? And is he consistent? Does he pay his bills? It's really important because, you know, if sounds like you're working, you're a working woman, that's cool, that's great. And find out if you want kids, what the arrangement would be as well in terms of your working and his working. Now, I'm not going to preach what's the best necessarily, like some other therapists do. But what I'm saying is you've got to come to some kind of compromise and have the kids be in a comfortable, loving environment where there is parental guidance. Okay? So there you go. Those are just some questions to ask him, or just things to figure out before you get really involved seriously with this guy. And I thank you so much for emailing me here at LA Talk Radio. This is Dr. Michelle. You're on the couch with me, as you always are on Fridays at 11 o'clock in the morning Pacific Standard Time. We're doing a free-for-all Friday today, and that's, of course, where I answer your questions about almost anything. Most of them are self-esteem and relationship questions, but whatever you'd like. And or you can comment on some of the questions that people have asked me, or my responses to them. I'd love to hear it, whatever it is. It's all good. I'd love to hear from you. And you can contact me again at DrMichelle@AOL.com. And, of course, my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com. They're all up on the LA Talk Radio front page where my show is on Channel 1. And love to hear from you. Okay. It's a quickie. All right. This is kind of a cool question, though. Dear Doc, it seems like since the second we got engaged, every third person says, "So when are you going to have a baby?" Oh, God. We're not even married yet. How could we answer this rude request? Thanks very much, Corinne. All right, Corinne, here's the deal. These are really hard questions. And I think people's intentions usually are pretty positive, you know, unless there's really an annoying parent or mother-in-law. "I want to have grandkids. Come on, let's get with it. I'm getting old." No. But usually, you know, most people are just excited for you. You know, I have made the mistake myself many times to a niece who got married. Lovely man. Wonderful guy. And I'd say, "Oh, my God, you're going to have great-looking kids, and they're going to be so smart." And they look at me like, "Shut up." I know, it's kind of stepping out of the boundaries, and I shouldn't say that. I'm just trying to give them my, you know, auntie thoughts, the love. But, they're inevitable. Everybody's going to ask you that. I mean, everybody who really cares about you and wants to be excited about your life together. So take it with a laugh and a grain of salt, you know? I mean, just don't get crazy. I know it's stress because, I mean, you're going through stress right now. You're engaged. It's all bliss and fun and sexy and all that, but you're still stressed. If you're planning a wedding, I know you're stressed. So you might just chill, just laugh it off, really, really. And you can say something like, you know, planning the wedding's got us both crazy right now, so we're kind of taking things, you know, at one decision at a time because it's kind of heavy right now. All right? So if you're not feeling like you want to be so verbal or explanatory or whatever, you can just say something like, hey, we're waiting for the right time. And if they say, oh, well, when do you want to have kids? Don't know. We're going to just try to manage this and get through being together first, having fun together, knowing who we are together. Yeah, because the choice to have kids is a huge one. And one that you shouldn't feel pressured into just because your mother, possible mother-in-law, your cousin, your coworker, your carpool buddy, can't shut up about it. Shut up. I don't want to talk about it. Just tell them that. I don't want to talk about it. No. Then they'll go, oh, what's wrong? No. You just draw the boundary. Just chill. Relax. Just relax. Not a big deal. All righty. Let's move on. I like this one. And by the way, if you want to write to me, you can do so at docmichelle@aol.com and also respond to some of the listeners' questions and some of my advice. I'm open. Love to hear from you here at LA Talk Radio, the world's most listened to internet talk station, because we got it all. If you want to call, it's cool, 323-203-0815. That's a Los Angeles area code. And you and I do not have a therapeutic relationship per se, but I do like to give advice, help folks out, hopefully entertain you. All right. Never make fun of anybody. I never do that. Don't humiliate or make fun of people. Not okay. I try to set you straight, though, and get you thinking a little straighter. Dear Doc, I've heard you talk about bad things to look for in a guy when you're starting to get ready to look for that special guy. Now, we just kind of talked about that. Aha. I'm 32 and tired of dating losers. I'm ready to settle down, but would like to know what are some of the so-called red flags that I should look out for in guys that may tell me that he's going to be a loser. Well, I don't know how old you are. Oh, you're 32. And you're tired of dating losers. Well, I hear you. Maybe you ought to get more selective. You know, I don't know how you're meeting these guys, if it's online or, you know, you can do a lot of filtering through that and a lot of calls, a lot of texting, email. You get more information from them. And then sometimes after getting a lot of information and meeting them and starting to date them, it's still a surprise. But you can gather a lot of information from people if it's online information. Also, if your friends have recommended someone, it's usually a good thing because they wouldn't pick someone who would hurt you or be a so-called loser, as you say, Cammie. Her name's Cammie, by the way. So, you know, there's a lot of red flags that you have to look for that may have been a first indicator to move on. So when you say you've dated a lot of losers, I don't know exactly what that means. But so here are some of the red flags that you should look for. And if you have two or more of these, you should say, next! All right? That I'm just saying. If he still lives at home and he is an adult over 23, he's finished college, and he's ready to embark on a job, that's okay. He's getting his feet going. I would prefer him to get out and have moved on and made his career. But if he's 30 or 28, he does need to get out of the house. All right? I think it's a relationship red flag. I really do. Guys who still live at home are usually in no hurry to grow up. Mommy's taking care. Mommy's doing the laundry. You know, keeping the house clean. There's meals there. They may be paying rent. But there's no reason to become independent or financially responsible. Pay your own bills. So you have to kind of check out to see if that's the kind of trait that you really want in a future partner. All right? What else? Another red flag would be, I'm thinking, if he never invites you over to his place. That's a clue. All right. He's quick to suggest hanging out at your place, but he never offers up his own crib. This could be a sign of concealment. You know what I'm talking about. You know, this is a red flag. Because maybe his home includes a family he's not telling you about. Maybe he's, you know, like a hopeless slob. Maybe he's a hoarder. That's scary. That's sad. God bless him. He's got to work on it. But never inviting you over could mean that either he's cheating on someone else or he's embarrassed of something. He lives like a pig. So that's a big red flag. You'd like to see what kind of environment he puts himself into. All right? You want a potential future partner to be open and honest with you about simple things. All right, another red flag is if a guy is moving way too quickly. If a guy is moving way too quickly, it's a big sign that he's uncomfortable being by himself. Yeah, yeah. Or he's looking for a lady to help solve his problems. You know what I'm saying? Somebody who moves on too quickly, that's creepy and scary. Asking for intimacy or marriage too quickly, or even like spilling loads of very personal information, almost to creepy, the creepy date? No, that's scary. That's a big red flag. Moving too quickly, being too open. Ooh. Yeah, it's unattractive, it's clingy, and it's not what you want for a future partner because they're telling everybody their stuff. Also, if he constantly talks bad about his exes, that's a biggie. Really an important thing. Also, if he's fresh out of a relationship, timing can be everything, but when you could potentially get involved in a rebound relationship, it may be time to move on. All right? So those are just some ideas for you to think about. You know, red flags. Before you get involved in a relationship with a guy, I think it's a really good idea, you know, just to ask some of those questions because it's really important and may help you out. All righty, we have somebody on the line. And hi, who's this?
Hi, Dr. Michelle. This is Richard.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
I'm fine.
Good.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. What's going on with you?
Well, listen, I, Dr. Michelle, I just love your show.
Thank you.
I just think it's just wonderful, but I need your help. I have a problem.
Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Listen, I get very stressed out. Sometimes I feel panicky. My heart starts beating fast. I get dizzy, and it's hard to catch my breath.
Oh.
And I just don't know what's going on.
Okay.
I'm very stressed. I don't know what to do.
All right.
I get stressed over work. I'm a designer. It's very stressful.
Yeah.
And I just don't know what to do. Family problems, my partner. It builds up. It sometimes builds up. And I just, please, I need your help.
Okay. All right.
What would you suggest?
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, let me tell you this. Are you, so you say you feel panicky, you have palpitations, your heart starts beating fast, right?
Yes.
Did you say you get dizzy? You're getting dizzy?
I do. I do get dizzy.
Okay,
yes.
You can't catch it. Okay,
I guess it would be referred to as a panic attack, I guess.
Wow, you know.
All I can tell you is that it just, things mount up, and just, I just get very, very dizzy. I lose my breath.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
My heart beats, it palpitates.
Yeah.
I just don't know what to do.
Okay, and I can't really diagnose you over the radio because we don't have a therapeutic relationship. But all, you know, of the symptoms that you're telling me, you know, sound like symptoms that could be characterized as having panic attacks. So you have a lot of stress in your life. And I don't know.
Yes.
Yeah, we all have, you know, stress from time to time. But sometimes it really takes our toll on our health. It's kind of the body's way of reacting and just shutting down and not being able to cope. You know, we have the fight or flight system in our bodies, right?
Yes.
Well, your body's, this is what's happening. I mean, you're shutting down. I mean, dizziness, shortness of breath, the heart palpitating. What it's doing is it's shutting you down. So you have to get control over that. And I want you to know that you can get control over that. And there's a couple of things that really work.
How do I do that?
I'll tell you, there's behavior therapy that, you know, teaches you how to get through one of these so-called stress or panicky sounding attacks. There are breathing techniques. There are relaxation techniques where you can completely shut down. If you're in a public place, you can go into a restroom and go behind a stall or something or lock the door, and you can relax. You can just sit. You know what I'm talking about. You can just sit down and start doing deep breathing, and you can learn about this online, or you can go to a therapist who specializes in panic disorder or stress. Because, I mean, it's really, you can get control over this. No. See, here's the problem. It's like an ongoing catch-22 thing. You feel like you can't control it. You get stressed, you get dizzy, and you get even more afraid during the attack. And then you catch your breath.
Oh, absolutely. It just runs and runs and runs, right. And it just mounts up, and I just don't know what to do.
I'm really sorry to hear that you're dealing with that, because it is one of the scariest things that I've heard from people. And, you know, you feel out of control. Do know that you can control it, okay?
What can you tell me today?
All right, I'll tell you this. First of all, I'm going to have you try to join a stress management group, if you can. All right, and in your area, okay. I don't know what area you're in.
I'm in Santa Monica.
All right, go ahead and go online and look up, you know, stress management groups in your area. And I would also contact a therapist if you have insurance under your insurance plan that specializes in anxiety and stress management, because you need to get with this right away. I'm not a big advocate of medicine if you have a psychiatric disorder, there are medications that are really important for bipolar, schizophrenia, things like that. There are medications for panic attacks or panic syndrome, or if you have, you know, generalized anxiety disorder. I'm not a big fan of the benzodiazepines, which are, you know, the tranquilizers, but sometimes as needed, they do manage panic attacks. So you might go to your general practitioner or a psychiatrist. A lot of people go, oh, psychiatrist, I must be crazy. No. Don't worry about that. Okay, so what?
I had one of them a long time ago.
Okay.
He didn't really help me. But,
okay, all right. Look, antidepressants are great also sometimes for, and I'm not going to prescribe, I'm just saying, maybe you need to go to your general practitioner and get a referral with someone who you may trust. How's that? But so behavior modification is through relaxation techniques. You can do breathing, of course, which always starts off a relaxation technique. And you can do muscle tension and relaxation, or you can do guided imagery. Those are great. Mm. Look up guided imagery on the internet. You can go, there's millions
guided
of
guided imagery.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Also,
okay.
You can go for, you know, hypnosis or self-hypnosis. Basically, hypnosis is teaching yourself how to, you know, get through panic attacks, or teaching yourself how to relax. So learn self-hypnosis. And if you can't do it yourself, if you don't trust yourself or you still feel out of control, you can talk to someone who knows what they're doing and can. I am a believer in someone who is licensed, certified, and has a reputation in what they do in terms of managing stress with hypnosis.
But you can't believe everything you see on the internet.
Well, that's true.
You know, how do you know when someone has a good reputation?
Well, I'll tell you, you ask your general practitioner. They'll refer you. They're not going to give you somebody who's, you know, flaky, usually. I mean, really. I don't know if you can do meditation. Now, a lot of people get scared at that. They go, oh, my God, I have to become a monk and say, have you ever meditated before?
Yes. Okay. Yes, I've done that before.
Meditation
is
good.
I have such a busy life,
yes.
And I got so many things going on.
Mm-hmm.
I just need a fix.
All right.
Just fix me.
Right.
Just tell me what to do. You know, when I have a panic attack, what should I do?
I'm telling you what to do. You should check
to breathe
out.
Deep.
You should breathe and learn how to do the deep breath slowly in and out. Don't get dizzy and pass out. But you can control your bodily systems and your heart rate, first of all, by breathing slowly and focusing in on one image, maybe one image or a color or something that makes you feel good. You can also, if you're in a private place, if you're feeling panicky, you can also say to yourself, I can control this. And while you're breathing deeply, I can control this. Because you can. You totally can. Okay, so we talked
like
about
going to a happy place.
There you go. Go to your happy place, Richard. Go to your happy place. Okay. So you have the breathing, which is, you know, you practice that. You also have the possibility of imagery, hypnosis, and meditation, which are all focusing in on something. Your brain is focusing in to slow down your bodily stress reactions. Mm, all right?
Okay.
Laugh. Do you laugh a lot? Are you a fun-loving kind of guy? Do you get to
when something's funny.
Okay. Why don't you lighten up a little bit and not get so stressed? Do things. Take a walk. Do you like a certain type of music?
Yes, I love classical.
Okay, beautiful. That's great, relaxing music.
Yeah.
Get your iPod out and take breaks at work. Get some classical music going on. Breathe when you're listening to that. Get a little more exercise. Are you exercising?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
It's a really important thing to get exercise. Are you sleeping enough?
I try. I get probably 6 hours a night.
Oh, okay. Does that work for you? Are you really fatigued at the end of the day?
Kind of.
All right.
It's just I work so hard. I have so many things going on and it just, you know, my partner and his family problems and just dealing with everything. So,
well, I understand. So, and we all are stressed and, you know, but we all have to live and enjoy our lives. So, you know, what you have to do is really take care of you first before you can take care of all your other people. It sounds like you're a very conscientious person and you care and all that, but you have to take care of you first. So, here's the things, and I'm telling you, you got to take care of yourself. Take a walk. If you're not a big exercise person, get out and walk. Find a park nearby, find a place, or if you live in a safe neighborhood, when it becomes dusk, it's beautiful out there where you live. You said you're in Santa Monica area. Walk along the beach. Take a walk for, you know, half an hour along the beach. Listen to your music.
Okay.
All right? So,
are
you drinking? Are you slamming caffeine during the day?
In the morning.
Okay.
In the morning.
A lot?
I just have a cup.
Okay, that's not much.
You know.
But if you can...
It's a big cup.
Okay, a big cup. All right. You know, caffeine sometimes stimulates people enough to trigger panicky symptoms. Okay. Do you drink alcohol a lot? Do you drink alcohol?
A couple times a week.
Okay.
You know,
we
go to the bar and have fun.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No, just a couple times a week.
All right. Try to keep that in moderation. You know, because, I mean, alcohol, you know, it does have rebound effects and, you know, it does relax you and all that. But, you know, I don't have to tell you, how damaging it can be. But you don't sound like you're an alcoholic. But, I mean, kind of keep drinking in moderation. So here's the thing. Am I helping you out a little bit? Am I getting
you? Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Know that you can control this. Don't allow yourself to get relaxed. Allow yourself some downtime several times a day. Take breaks from your office or whatever you do. Take breaks. Listen to your music. Do your breathing. When you start to palpitate, when you start to get a little dizzy, sit down, completely relax your body, and start breathing slowly. All right?
It's easier said than done.
I know.
It's easier said than done.
I know.
And when people are in my office, hold it, stop, I'm going to take a break.
No.
It's very hard to do.
No, but, I understand.
You know what, Dr. Michelle, you really give me a lot of very, very helpful advice.
Okay.
I think the breathing's a great idea. I think the walk is a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, you've heard all that before.
I'm just going to work on that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think I hope that's going to help.
Well, I would ask, honestly, for a referral from your general practitioner to see a specialist who works with people who have panic symptoms or anxiety disorders. I really would. I would do that. Just ask your general practitioner. So, hang in there. You sound like a lovely person, and I appreciate you so much calling. And,
well, I just love your show. I listen to it every week, and I just think it's wonderful.
Well,
so,
thank you. Hope
thank
I helped.
You, doctor.
All right, you take good care now. Hope I helped.
Okay,
bye.
Now.
All right. There's a cool guy. Sounds like an interesting person. Yeah, I mean, we can all control panicky symptoms. I mean, sometimes it does get medically out of control, and that's really when you need to go, you know, see a general practitioner who can refer you possibly to a psychiatrist. Again, I'm not all for, you know, really forcing people into medications, but I have seen people really improve with that, with behavioral and, you know, certain cognitive techniques about your thoughts, how to control your thoughts, your worrisome thoughts, and, you know, focusing in on one thing when you are, say, meditating or just guided imagery. You know, you go to another place, and, you know, our minds really can control our bodies. You just know that. I mean, that really keeps us really in a good place. We all have to do it, or, you know, we get sick. I mean, there are so many diseases attributed to stress. Who needs that? I know it's stressful in these economic times and, you know, these times of unrest in the world, but it's really important that we take care of ourselves first. Which brings me to the fact that it's about time for us to go away, and I thank you so much for listening. CBS News coming up next. This is Dr. Michelle. I've had fun being on the couch with you. Hope you did too. You want to email me, go for it. I'd love to hear from you. Response to some of the questions today or my responses, or if you have your own issues or relationship questions, DrMichelle@AOL.com. Check me out at my website, DrMichelleTherapy.com, and continue to listen here to the largest and most listened to talk radio station on the internet, LA Talk Radio. And as I always say, do take care of yourself first. See? Then you'll be great for other folks, too. Have a great day. I'll be back next Friday at 11 a.m. PST. Bye-bye now.